Well, my wife and I have a 17-month-old son, and so this is his second Christmas. And this time last year, he was so little, so he didn't really know what was going on. But this Christmas, he's so much more in tune with what's happening. He's understanding that something special is going on. And it's so much fun. It's been so much fun all month long to see him get into stuff. Like he'll see the trees and the lights and the ornaments, and he'll start pointing and say, "Lights, lights, lights." And he knows something fun is going on. And a couple of weeks ago, we were out and we were going to somebody's house, and on their lawn, they had one of those big inflatable Santa Clauses. And so we're walking up, and all of a sudden, I hear this little voice beside me go, "Santa, Santa, Santa." And he's pointing, "Santa, Santa, Santa." And to be honest with you, I didn't even know how he knew who Santa was until I finally remembered we have one book that we sometimes read to him that has a little picture of Santa at the end. But he just caught on and he's so excited, "Santa, Santa, Santa." So a week or two ago, my wife is with our son Joe and they're shopping, and she goes into a store, and who is there? Santa. In the flesh, he's right there. And so Joe gets all excited. He recognizes him right away. He starts going, "Santa, Santa, Santa, Santa." And he's pointing. And so my wife, she seizes the opportunity. We got to get the picture. His first picture with Santa Claus. And so she brings him up to Santa, stands in line, gets right up there, brings him up. Joe high-fiving Santa, "Santa, Santa." He's laughing. He's giggling. He's having such a good time. So my wife sets him on Santa's lap and steps back in order to get the picture, and here's what we get. So classic. And if you know my son, he barely ever cries. And here's what bothers me about the picture. It's not so much the attitude towards Santa Claus, because I get that, but I see in his face an indictment on our parenting. You know, like, what kind of parents are you? I don't know this guy. Just because he's in a book and I pointed at him, you're just gonna like throw me on him and walk away? What is the deal with that? What kind of responsible people are you? I'm 17 months old. So Santa just got a little too close this year. Christmas got really real for Joe really fast. But do you know what the reality is that when it comes to the Christmas story, I love Christmas. It's awesome. I love almost every aspect of Christmas. But if you think about it a little bit, Christmas is kind of scary. I'll tell you why. Because Christmas is the story that God has come close. God has come close. So here's a bit of a question that might make you nervous if you really think about it, because it sometimes does for me. What if this year God showed up in your life like never before? What if God came so close to you this year in areas and places of your life, wherever you're at now, and that might be for you, him just showing up because you might not even really have much of any kind of relationship, or you don't feel in touch with God at all. But what would it be like if God showed up in your life this year like never before? And here's why that makes some of us nervous, most of us nervous, maybe all of us. Because we know that if God showed up, if there's a God out there and he showed up in our lives, if he came close, it would threaten our control. We want to be in control of our lives. We want to be able to call the shots. We have hopes. We have dreams. We have the kind of life that we want to have. And we order it the way that we want to order it. But some of us realize when we hear that, we go, man, that would be maybe a little bit too close. Maybe that would mean that God would be stepping into areas of my life that I don't know if I want a God coming into that area of my life. What if God wants to change things? What if he wants to change my sense of morality? What if he wants to change my lifestyle? What if he'd want to change my priorities? Maybe we're just more comfortable saying, "I just want to kind of do my own thing." And we're satisfied to kind of park God in neutral, a little bit far off. Maybe he's out there, maybe he's not, but I don't know that I need him to come that close. And all of a sudden, it's a little bit threatening, which I think is why there's this amazing encouragement in the Christmas stories. We actually read it over and over, whether it's to Mary or to Joseph or even to shepherds out in the field. And it's actually a command that we find all throughout the Bible. It is the most common command that is written in the entire pages of the Bible all the way through. And this is the common encouragement in the Christmas story to all kinds of the main characters: do not be afraid. Listen, something big is happening here. These are people where God is interrupting their lives in incredibly crazy ways. And so over and over we hear this, but don't be afraid. Yeah, but this could change everything. I know, but don't be afraid. But I don't know how this is going to go. But I don't know if I can release control. I don't know if I need God stepping into certain areas of my life. That seems threatening to me and what I want in my life. And almost always the first thing said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And it's actually something we read all through Scripture, that when God shows up, one of the first things that he says, or somebody announcing him says, is don't be afraid. So here's my next question. What if God showed up in your life this year like never before, but it was exactly what you needed? What if in some of the areas of your life where you have needs, God showing up is exactly what you need? What if in some of the areas where you're most nervous to let God into or speak into or be part of are precisely the spots where you need him most? What if God showing up in a whole new way was exactly what your marriage needed? What if God showing up in a whole new way was exactly what you needed as a parent? What if God showing up in a whole new way was just what you needed to change the way that you think about yourself, or the way that you treat other people, or how much you worry about things? What if exactly what you need, even if it's threatening, and even if it's scary, and even if you're not sure you want it, what if exactly what you need is God to show up in a whole new way, for God to get even closer? So the Christmas story. We have Mary and Joseph, and this story's kind of familiar to many of us. And so they're engaged. They're, for all we know, pretty normal people. They probably had expectations of life like most of us do. They were engaged to get married. So they probably thought, we're going to get married, and then we'll start a family, and hopefully we'll be able to have a decent living and a certain kind of lifestyle, and we'll have a good extended family, and we'll just go through life. And that's what we want. That's what we're looking for. Normal people doing normal things. People who didn't sign up for God to step in and get closer and do something crazy and incredible. People who didn't volunteer for something miraculous to happen in their life. They're just going along. And all of a sudden, they find out that Mary is pregnant, but they haven't even been together. And so Joseph, can you imagine Joseph trying to figure that out, trying to work through the emotional battle of what's going on and what he must be thinking, and trying to figure out, where do we go now? What do we do next? So he decides, we're going to break up. We're going to try and salvage as much dignity as we can from this situation, go our separate ways, and just keep moving on. And that's where we pick up the Christmas story. This is from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew's one of the Gospels, story about Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so in Matthew 1 verse 20 it says, and as he considered this, talking about Joseph, considering this whole situation and what's going on, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So right in the middle of this crisis point, of this battle that Joseph is fighting, kind of mentally and emotionally and circumstantially, he has his dream and an angel speaks to him, and right off the bat, I love it, don't be afraid. Well, I am afraid because this is throwing my entire life out of whack, and I didn't sign up for this, and I don't know why this is happening to us. Don't be afraid. And then this heavenly messenger fills him in and essentially says, Joseph, you are now part of something so much bigger than yourself. There's something incredible going on here, and I know you didn't plan this, and I know you didn't expect it, and it's hard and it's difficult, and you probably wouldn't have even chose it, but this is from God, and that child in Mary's womb is from the Holy Spirit. It's God doing something crazy. So then he says, now name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Jesus comes from a Hebrew word that means he saves, and so it's fitting. He will save his people from their sins. Now, if you hear that word sins, in our culture, there's a lot of baggage that goes with that. And most of us think that that's a very religious word that you hear in church and places like this. Maybe a word that's been used to make you feel guilty about yourself, about your lifestyle, about choices that you've made, about your past, and all that kind of stuff. When this word was originally used, it actually wasn't a religious word at all. It was an archery term. And it simply meant this, to miss the mark. You think of an archer shoots an arrow, but the arrow's not on the right trajectory. Instead of hitting the bullseye, it goes to the left, it goes to the right, a little high, a little low, but it just doesn't get to where it's supposed to go. And the point here is that sin is missing the mark, and what is being proclaimed about Jesus is a reality that even if we just step out of the religious realm for a second and think about it, I know I'm the first one to say, you know, sometimes my life is headed in the wrong trajectory. That sometimes as a dad, as a husband, as a friend, as a son, as me, I'm just missing the mark. I'm not getting to where I want to get. That my relationships aren't all that they could be. That my choices and my actions aren't fulfilling who I really want to be. And even that how I relate to God just could be different. And however we put together what that looks like, I think most of us can identify with that. That, hey, you know, sometimes I just know my trajectory is off. And I'm not headed to the spot where I want to be in life. Or I'm not headed to the most deep, satisfying, and fulfilling life. My relationship with other people. And whatever it looks like, my relationship with God. Now here's the message. Joseph, don't be afraid. I know this is crazy, but here's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to come and bring people back onto trajectory so that we can hit the bullseye. That this Jesus is going to bring us to a new life and a better life. And so then the narrator continues and quotes this prophet all the way back hundreds of years ago in Israel's history and says this: all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now this quote, like I said, it was written hundreds of years ago. It was the prophet Isaiah, one of the books of the Old Testament in the Bible. And when it was written, it had nothing to do with Jesus, and nobody read it and thought, oh, one day, you know, there's going to be this baby born in Bethlehem and all this kind of stuff. It was written about their current times. And there was this king named Ahaz. He was in Judah, and he was panicking. He was in complete crisis mode. There was a superpower, the Assyrians, from the north that were going to come and attack him. And before they could come and attack him, there were a couple of other nations that were going to come and attack because the land where they were was so valuable and strategic. And so he was under threat of attack from three different nations. And he didn't see how they could defend themselves, that they were bigger armies and stronger armies. And he was so worried his people were going to be wiped out. And his biggest concern wasn't just the armies and the enemies out there, but his biggest concern is that God wouldn't show up for him. And he knew and he believed in his heart that if God didn't show up, they didn't have a chance. And so here comes this prophet, and the prophet speaks to him and talks about this boy that will be born. And actually in the original language of Hebrew before it's translated to Greek, he says, look, there's going to be this young woman and she's going to have a child. And that child we're going to name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel is a Hebrew compound word. The im part means with. The Manu means us, and El means God. With us is God. With us is God. And here's Isaiah's point. He's saying, I want you to test God. And we're gonna look at this child. And whenever we look at this child, whenever we use this child's name, that's going to be our symbol. And we're always going to be reminded, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. And when it looks bleak, and when you have no hope, and when you don't think you can get through the obstacles, and when you think your enemies are going to destroy you, you just look, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. And he said, before this kid is old enough to know right and wrong, so between 4 and 5 more years, says he's going to be eating curds and honey. Those are peacetime foods. It means by that time, those armies are going to be no more. You're going to be at peace. I know it's going to look bleak and it's going to be hard, but remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. And here's why this is so powerful, because the message that the king needed to hear wasn't just that God was with us, not just that there was some God somewhere out here in some weird ethereal way, but the message is that if God is with us, then God is for us. God is with us, which means he's for us. He's going to show up for you. He wants what's best for you. He's going to act in your life and in your circumstance. He's going to show up, and it's going to be the greatest thing that you could imagine. Emmanuel means God is with us, and God is for us. So my third question is, what would it mean in your life this year if God showed up and you knew that he was for you? How would it change your life if you knew that not only God has shown up, but that he's for you, that he wants what's best for you, that he wants a better life for you, that he wants to drive you deeper to a deep, satisfying, peaceful life way deep down in your soul, that he wants you to have a powerful relationship with him, and that he wants to show you what it looks like to love people in this world, that he wants to use you to make this world a better place. How would it look in your life? Because when we read Jesus' story and they wrote it down and they thought back on what has happened that Jesus has showed up, they remembered the story of King Ahaz, and they said, it's happened again, but even greater, because this time it's not a symbol child. It is actually God with us. It is God born into humanity to say, I'm with you and I'm for you. And I want to bring you to life, real, deep, satisfying life. And here's what I think that would look like. I think when that kind of hope that God is with you and that God is for you wells up in your soul, it manifests itself in a kind of confidence, a confidence where you know that you're loved, where you know you're accepted, where you know that you are worth so much to God, and that confidence becomes a love as you receive his love that you can pour out on the world around you. And I believe that's how God is working in this world to bring his light and his love. Could you imagine what it would be like if God could breathe that hope and confidence and love into your family or into your marriage, into the dark places of your worries and your insecurities and your struggles? God with us means that God is for us. And I believe that when you start to order your life around that truth, that God is with us, God is for us, Emmanuel, when you start ordering your life around Jesus as God who has come to us, then that's when God grabs hold and transforms your life. And when you're willing to surrender control of your life to follow him, it's when he leads you to what life really truly is. And that is super scary and threatening, when we just want to hold on tight. But what if that was exactly what you needed? And what would it look like if you could live in light of the fact that God is with us and God is for us? So for some of us, this is a journey that we've been on for a while, and maybe your next step is just to think tonight about areas in your life that you need to invite God into. Maybe spots are, you'd say, I'm following Jesus, but maybe spots where you would say, I haven't opened up that part of my life and trusted him with us. And maybe this is the year where you trust God with that. You allow him to speak into your life. You allow him to change and shift some things that maybe you just haven't been comfortable letting him do. And maybe you're here because it's Christmas and this is all new to you, or this is the first time in a long time you've been into a church. And maybe the next step for you is simply coming back in January and exploring what it looks like to have faith in Jesus and to explore whether or not following a God who promises to be with us and for us could transform your life and even people around you. I love this term Emmanuel, partially because it's not just God with me or God with you. It's God with us collectively. And one of the great joys is to be in community and be on this kind of journey together to explore what faith could look like. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, there are certainly times in our lives where we feel like we're in a battle, where we feel like we are threatened, where we feel like all that we can see is our enemies or the things that are stacked up against us. You ever felt that way? Maybe you're in the middle of a battle right now. Maybe you feel like your marriage is just one fight after another. Maybe you feel like parenting is a constant battle. Maybe you're trying to figure out what it looks like to be a single parent, and it's just exhausting for you. Maybe you're working through emotional battles, physical battles. Maybe your battle right now is an addiction. And we're in the middle of those battles. Sometimes it's hard to see anything except all the reasons why we're not going to come out of it, why it's not going to get better. But Christmas is a powerful message that opens up our eyes to a new reality. There's another story in Israel's history, this battle that was taking place, and there was another prophet named Elisha, and he was in the middle of this city with his young servant, and they looked out, and their city was surrounded by the armies of their enemies, horses and chariots, and they were so strong, and they were so much bigger, and they had no hope. And this young servant looks up to Elisha, this man of God, this prophet, and he's looking for some kind of hope. And Elisha says something so important to him, and it fits so much with what the Christmas story we've already read. As they look out and they see just the daunting battle in front of them and all their enemies, he says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And all of a sudden, this young man's eyes are opened. And he looks out, and where he had seen all of his enemies and everything stacked up against them, all of a sudden he saw a heavenly army and chariots of fire and horses. And all of a sudden his eyes were open and he realized that God was with them. And when he couldn't see hope and when he couldn't see a future, all of a sudden his eyes were open and he realized those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And here's the message that was then related to Jesus, this baby that was born, that in him we see that he who is with us is greater than anything that can be against us. Because God has come near. God is with us. God is for us. And the natural conclusion is for us to ask, if God is for us, then who could possibly be against us? And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, a baby. The same Jesus of Good Friday, who would die to forgive the sins of the world, give up his life. It's the same Jesus of Easter Sunday, who would be raised from the grave and defeat death to offer us life through his presence. It is what I hope you'll see today, a greater reality than anything stacked against you. Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. And God is for us. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this is a powerful message, and today I pray that you would speak it into our hearts and our souls. For those of us who are struggling with very real battles and struggles in life, God, would you remind us that you who are greater than anything that could come against us is with us and for us. Would you bring us great joy as we celebrate that here at Christmas time? And God, would you teach us to live and to love the way that Jesus has taught us and modeled for us and shown us? God, we thank you so much for Christmas and for your presence. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.